I'm Jennifer Ludden, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Michelle Martin's away. It's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar, syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete, and executive editor Nick Charles. Hi, guys.
Hey.
What's up?
I may
from the doing? Block. What's up?
I may or may not be able to get a word in edgewise here and there. But for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Yeah, yo, everybody, welcome to the shop. How we doing, all right?
Hey.
Yeah, but Jimmy, we good.
Hey, what's up?
Man, you know what? President Barack Obama put Judge Sonia Sotomayor up for a seat in the Supreme Court. And, you know, it's weird because Gallup is reporting that, you know, nearly half of all Americans are giving her the ups, right? But her views on abortion and right to privacy are kind of like, I mean, nobody really knows. And people are wondering, you know, would she have any problems being confirmed? The R. What do you think? Actually, you know what? I think you called this some time ago, didn't you?
I called it wrong. Yeah, I called it wrong. I was not alone. I was not alone. A lot of folks out there thought that he would not choose a Latina or a Latino.
Really?
And yeah, that President Obama had said something about how he didn't feel weighed down by demographics. Mm-hmm. And other suggestions. But all that's obviously, you know, for not now. He did choose, I think, a highly qualified Latina who was, let me just do this quickly, summa cum laude from Princeton University, Yale Law Journal, 17 years experience on the federal bench, more than Sam Alito or John Roberts. And she's heavy duty in every sense of the word, just like Barack Obama is heavy duty in every sense of the word. I don't think this goes down a road where they start talking about judicial activism or, you know, even some of her liberal views. I think what this is going to be about is this speech that we all have now heard, this conversation that she had at Berkeley some years ago, where she flat out said that she thought a Latina would be wiser in adjudicating cases than a white male who didn't have that experience. And we are now going to get sucked into, ready or not, yet another argument over affirmative action and racial preferences. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's discouraging is I would think that white males wouldn't be so incredibly thin-skinned and insecure, but they are. And we saw that during the presidential election with Barack Obama, when people came forward and said that if he was elected president, he'd only be looking out for black folks and nobody else.
But how come you never hear that when a white candidate's up there? Right. No one makes that accusation.
You tend to never hear that. Exactly right. And I think what it is, you know, it's a new thing to have a black president, to have a Latina on the Supreme Court. Anytime someone introduces something new, there's going to be a learning period. And during that learning period, there will be incredible amounts of ignorance, stupidity, just some racist stuff being said. It happened with Obama. It's going to happen with Sotomayor, and it's already started.
I've seen
you know
emails.
What, Ruben? All those credentials, and she's kind of cute, too. And we got some tape, don't we, Jenny?
We do. Oh, I haven't heard that since high school. we do. We have Sonia Sotomayor at her nomination ceremony, and she's speaking before an audience that included her teary-eyed mother.
My mother has devoted her life to my brother and me. And as the president mentioned, she worked often two jobs to help support us after Dad died. I have often said that I am all I am because of her, and I am only half the woman she is.
Wow.
Well, let me wipe the tear from my eye. Damn.
Nick, man, you know what? Is this going to be a choice that's going to make everybody happy?
It's not going to make everybody happy. We already have some real nonsense coming from people like Rush Limbaugh saying she's a reverse racist. This woman is, you know, in this really bad economy, in this really bad time, she is the American dream writ large. It has come back to life. She is the personification of it. Mm-hmm. Now, the Republican Party can do anything they want to do. They say they're going to take the filibuster off the table, but they're still going to be, you know, checking to think she has liberal views. If they challenge this woman and go down the dirty, muddy path that they usually do, that spells the death knell for the GOP.
Because
the Latino folks that they want to say that to support them in the midterm elections and the next election are just going to go, wait a minute, if the best of our best can get past these barriers, who else do you want us to put up?
Well, and this is our salon.
Go ahead, A-Train.
I think, you know, the biggest ace in the hole that the Obama administration has is that Judge Sotomayor was confirmed by the Senate in 1992 without opposition after being appointed by the first George H.W. Bush, and she was voted for like by people like former Senator Rick Santorum and others. And so, you know, anybody who goes out for a political vendetta on this one, I think their laundry is going to be aired quite quickly.
And hasn't she always been described as a centrist.
Yeah, and one of the cool things that I wanted to mention is that most people don't know that she, in 1995, basically saved the sport of baseball when she stopped baseball owners from illegally changing their bargaining agreement with the players, thereby ending the longest professional sports walkout in history. So sports fans like her also.
Yeah, we love her. That's why we got 1996. That's why we have the baseball came back. People talked about Suda. They said he was a closet liberal. So maybe she has, you know, some closet conservative opinions, but I don't think that disqualifies at all. Like, that's pretty good. If she is that kind of person who can also go her own way, I think she doesn't take any guff. She's not going to be cowed or intimidated by anybody on the court, Scalia and or Clarence Thomas or any of the ones on the right hand, on the right. So I think that's a great thing.
Is it? Do you guys think it's possible, though, that the administration could make an argument that, you know, Hispanics are 15% of the nation right now and growing more all the time, and it's the largest minority, and it's about time? I mean, in the way that you can make a case for a woman on the court, do you not hear that that would be politically possible?
I mean, I think it's a viable argument that you make. I think that, you know, the fact that she was confirmed in 92 by the Senate, you know, with overwhelming Republican support, and a lot of those senators that are still serving in office today, I think that is going to be the biggest political ace in the hole.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Jimmy Israel, Nick Charles, Ruben Navarrete, and Arsalan Iftikhar in the barbershop. Jimmy?
Jenny from the block, thank you so much. Yo, A-Train, my man, you know, Senator Roland Burrs, he's like a menace to Chicago, man. We haven't had anything coming through Chicago since R. Kelly, like your boy, because dude is caught on tape talking that talk about exchanging cash for favors. We got some tape somewhere, right?
We have tape secretly recorded by the FBI on November 13th, 2008.
Rob, I'm in a dilemma right now, wanting to help the governor.
Yeah.
I mean, I have been with him on all the issues, and I'm now trying to figure out what the hell the best thing to do. I know I could give him a check.
Yeah.
Myself.
Yeah.
And my law partner, we were going to try to do something at the law firm. I might be able to do this in the name of Tim Wright.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because Tim is not looking for an appointment. Okay.
Okay.
But Fred and I. Look, uh-huh. I said I got to call you. I have not.
Okay.
Because I didn't know how to deal with this situation.
Well, I'll stand by. I mean, if you want to write a check and have Fred write a check or have someone else write checks, that'd be great. I mean, we're just trying to do some cleanup here.
All right, and that was Roland Burrs before he was senator speaking to the brother of Governor Rod Blagojevich.
Robert.
Thanks, Jenny. Why does A-Train...
Yep.
Look, man, this cat's from your neck of the woods.
Indeed.
Why doesn't he just resign? I mean, because I mean, the calls are coming from near and far to get this cat out of there. What's up, man?
Well, because he's Roland Burrs, and
on
behalf of the barbershop and the city of Chicago, I'm going to give him both the Redunculus Award and the Come On Man Award because honestly, like, I mean, he was tainted from the beginning. I think he is, you know, trying to. What we would call it, run an end around, where he knows. I mean, everybody in Chicago knew that Rod Blagojevich was a corrupt politician. And so any sort of overt official contact between him in terms of donations, fundraising, things like that, you know, would have raised red flags immediately. And so what we heard on the tapes here was essentially, you know, Roland not doing the quid pro quo literally or doing the pay to play literally, but sort of trying to run an end around. And because he said, you know, he's like, my law firm partner, Tim Wright's not looking for an appointment, which means that I am looking for an appointment.
Right.
So
right. Hint.
He gets the Redunculus and the Come On Man.
Well, I think he actually answered the call saying, oh, you're going to make me king for a day or something, right? Right off the bat, he had that in mind.
The R.
Okay, here it is. The problem with this story and the problem for Burrs is the perjury, the idea that he may have committed perjury because I remember the testimony, what a lot of us do. Sitting before the Senate, he answered questions where he said under oath that he had never had any conversations with anybody related to Blagojevich or his staff or his campaign about this Senate seat. Now, that's a pretty definitive statement. It would seem that's now been, you know, undone by this audio tape that surfaced. So I went to bat for Burrs at the beginning because I don't think that the Senate and Harry Reid and Dick Durbin had any power to deny him to be seated. And I think that was never a fight they should have fought, and he deserved to be seated. Now I think he deserves to be unseated.
Nick?
Well, you know, he has the trifecta today, which is my really player, really award, because Roland Burrs.
Nice.
He's going home with the trophies.
Roland Burrs Roland Burris is an embarrassment. He was an embarrassment when he was trying to get seated, and maybe Ruben is right that it's illegal. Legally, he could have gotten seated, and nobody should have opposed it. But in fact of being unseated, he's going to go the way of Robert Glorovich. He's going to get, you know, impeached because
right.
the guy has told so many lies, he can't keep the story right. And, right. you know, we have him on tape, and there's no way to deny that this guy is hinky. Well, he's from Chicago, so everybody's hinky. But
hey.
You don't need to have the junior senator from Illinois being right. this dirty.
You know what? It's like Fat Albert might say, you know, Roland Burris, you like school on Sunday. No class.
Nice.
Okay. You know what? But seriously, in all seriousness, in other news, the reality TV couple behind John and Kate plus 8 are on the rocks, man. Say it isn't so. We got some tape, right?
Yeah, I think we can now call this rubbernecking TV now. We have tape of John and Kate plus 8 and the TLC network. This is the season opener, and the storyline was supposed to be about the sextuplets' 5th birthday party. But we also saw an interview with John. He's apologizing for bad behavior that led to rumors he cheated on his wife. Rumors he denies.
I'd like to apologize for my family for my actions. Like I said, I was wrong place, wrong time. But I didn't understand the ramifications of everything and how it would greatly affect everything. You know, I should have thought about more what I did and where I was going and stuff like that. And everyone knows what I'm talking about.
I'm doing the birthday by myself. Have to have a birthday. Have to have a party. Have to go on, no matter if you have help or not.
I love the jaunty guitar in the background as their lives come crashing to the ground. Thank you for that.
The really sad thing about it is that they had the highest ratings ever when the show aired on Monday. 10 million people actually tuned in for this thing.
Hold on, fellas. Straw poll, right? Just right quick. Straw poll. Can anybody name a couple for whom reality show was a good thing? Can anybody name that couple?
Right.
I didn't think so. It seems like every one of these couples that gets on reality shows always gets broken up.
But this is not a couple, Jimmy. This is a family. This is a family.
This is not a couple. You're right.
This is bad Baby Brunch. This is Baby Brunch gone crazy.
Now, guys,
gone wild.
That's right.
Because
right. Mike Carroll pulled it off, but these guys
shows,
can't pull it off.
You have at least 3 shows like this. Table for 12.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you have 18 and counting.
Right.
And then you have this John and Kate plus 8.
18
and in
counting.
This day and age, they seem to applaud this. And of course, then we have the Octomom, which everybody shuns.
Right.
But they applaud these guys. And from what's coming out is that he's a nightmare, the wife is a nightmare,
right.
and they're getting paid, and they're getting great ratings, and so they order up another 40 episodes of this.
Now people
are hooked in.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Guys, I'm, in the interest of full disclosure, my wife and I are avid watchers of John and Kate plus 8. I'm gonna get the Facebook messages now, but so I we love the kids, and honestly, like, I feel worse for the kids. I mean, these kids who are now, like, the sextuplets are 5 years old, the twins are 9 years old. You know, these guys are being taken for a ride by both their mom and dad, who have literally, like, you've seen the devolution of this family into, you know, 2 competing diva personalities. And it really, honestly, at the end of the day, you know, if you're dealing with The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, you're dealing with 2 adults. But here you're dealing with 8 children who know nothing of what's going on and are going to Google things and watch videos and DVDs of themselves as kids and watch their family disintegrate. It's so sad.
You know, I wrote about this some time ago on TheRoot.com that, you know, I propose a moratorium on having children involved in these reality show crack-ups because, you know— These kids know what they sign when they end up on these shows.
Well, it's up to their parents. Also, it's their parents who have to sign, and
it's
they're
in. And I was writing about when a singer Keith Sweat wanted to keep his kid off of that one reality show, Real Housewives of Atlanta, and I was like, amen, brother, because I wouldn't want to, you know. Look, my life is a reality show. You know, I wouldn't let my ex put my kid on no reality show. Are you serious?
Right.
Go ahead.
How much do I bet the family's being paid by the kid? Obviously, you know, pay me 8 times
per
kid. I'll tell you what. I don't understand the whole allure of people watching this show. I guess the novelty was you have a family with these 8 kids, right? On behalf of the Latino community, let me tell you, it's been done.
I think we all know the allure of all these reality TV shows. It's like, look, your life could be so much worse,
right?
And what these reality shows do is they turn up the volume on whatever these people's conflicts and personal issues are. They turn up the volume, they edit it, they market it, they package it, you know, and you're getting your moment of, you're getting your catharsis, you're getting your moment of exhale, you know, because it's like, dag, you know, I'm broke, but look at these cats. These cats got eight kids, and the dad's cheating on the wife. So my life can be so much worse.
Well, and, you know, as a society, it also shows our collective infatuation with celebrity. They will become famous by any means necessary, and you know, it doesn't matter who they take out along the way.
I don't get this. You have eight kids and you have energy to cheat on your wife?
Yeah, exactly.
If you had energy to make eight kids, I mean, hello.
You're just taking care of eight kids.
Can't even think about it, let alone.
I have one kid, and I'm tired of talking about potty training, and he has eight kids.
Right.
Oh, God, please.
Forget it.
Dude's got Red Bull on tap. That's what it is. So, all right, well, you know, in the spirit of keeping it real, I think that's a wrap, right?
All right, and next week we will ask for honest answers. Who watched the show next week?
Go get him, Jenny.
Jimmy Israel, a freelance journalist who writes for TheRoot.com and TV One Online, joined us from member station WCPN in Cleveland. Ruben Navarrete, who writes for the San Diego Union Tribune and CNN.com, joined us from San Diego. Nick Charles is the executive editor for the green living site Ecomi.com, and he joined us from our bureau in New York. And Arsalan Iftikhar is the founder of TheMuslimGuy.com and a civil rights attorney. He joined us right here in our studios in Washington. Gentlemen, all, thanks so much.
Peace.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yep, yep.
You just heard the Barbershop Guys offer their take on the latest headlines. Now we want to hear from you. Do you think the newly released taped conversations between Roland Burris and Robert Blagojevich, the former Illinois governor's brother, implicate Burris of wrongdoing? Do they cross the line? And if so, should he resign from his controversial appointment to the U.S. Senate? Also, is Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor being unfairly criticized by the Republicans? Or is it all just politics at its best? To tell us more about what you think, you can call our comment line at 202-842-3522. Again, it's 202-842-3522. Remember to leave your name, go to npr.org, click on Tell Me More, and you can blog it out.